Welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Dr. Wells, and today we're going to continue our topic in the world of ACEs, which is adverse childhood experiences. And we're going to go on to the next question that we generally ask someone within that. And that is, did you lose a parent through divorce, abandonment, death, or other reason? Moving forward in life, we have seen so many different actions, behaviors, diagnoses that have been placed upon people or exhibited by people. And we sometimes go back to the original thought of, where did that come from? Or I wonder if they're acting like their mother or their father. good behavior, bad behavior, not so good, whatever the case may be. However, the loss of a parent, for whatever reason, will always take a toll on the child or the youth. I mean, heck, it even hurts us sometimes. I mean, as adults, we still deal with that as well. But when you are or have experienced the loss of a parent under the age of 13 through divorce, abandonment, or death, or some other kind of reason, the implications that that has upon us is heavy. Sometimes, if you're too young, obviously, you may not even remember your parent if they died from some kind of fatal car accident or whatever may have happened, unfortunately. But when you have those memories that start with your parent, and that loss of a parent, it can really affect so many things that begin to happen within us. When a child goes through a divorce with the mother and father, that is one of the most treacherous experiences that a child can have. In that situation, they're tossed between loving a mother and father who they see in a healthy way, the best people in the world. They've learned to love from mother and father. They've learned to see the good things and the bad things with each other. But that divorce can bring about so many negative emotions within a child. Anger, betrayal, bitterness. For some, a desire for revenge and a host of damaging judgments upon oneself. Because kids are pure at heart, some of the first things they ask is, what did I do? Is it my fault? Is it my sibling's fault? And those kind of things begin to tear apart certain things. But, you know, through life, sometimes they get counseling, the majority don't. But they keep going and they try to adjust to life with either being with one parent or whatever the new home culture may be. And so trying to understand what that looks like when you are a youth, you don't look ahead 20, 30 plus years later at your life and at your marriage and at your family and that moment thinking that this particular moment is going to have an effect on my life down the road. In fact, many teenagers, there's a phrase that's commonly used for many teenagers, that they just, when we are going through life and we are trying to understand what they're doing, we sometimes we say they're either attention seeking or attachment seeking. And when that child is attention seeking, sometimes I believe that they are really attachment seeking within that, because they've lost one. They've lost a major child. I mean, they've lost a major adult, the parent in their life. The child is trying to figure out, what do I do next? Their brain is not fully developed yet. And so sometimes the tendency is to go on a downward spiral. And you will see many teens just, the old phrase is, just going willy-nilly everywhere. Emotionally, physically, even spiritually. They'll result to just trying anything to fill that void. Even substance abuse. Substance abuse is the number one associated coping mechanism, even though it's unhealthy, of someone that has had many adverse childhood experiences. And so when we think about it, you know, we talk about this often, or I do, when we talk about divorce and how it comes about, we look at the child and look at your life in middle school. It is magnified if you have that experience of a divorce and you are trying to figure out who loves me. So the boy or the girl who has lost the loved one, who has lost a mother or a father, they're looking for attachment, someone to love them, someone to nurture them. Someone to show them what an instant love is. And many times, it's the same cycle of divorce that's displayed through the child. What do you mean? Well, let's talk about it. When a middle schooler, so that's around the age of 11 to 13, are getting... They're growing up. Girls are getting, going through puberty, boys as well. And it's hormone crazy, as you all know. And they're at a point of where they just want to talk or let's date, whatever. But, you know, now let me get your Instagram and we'll do all this texting and Snapchat and all that stuff. Social media is the new dating, I guess. But I remember how it was and how it still is at times, where you still have the middle school girls and boys who just want to get together, hold hands. And then before you know it, they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, as they call it. But you can't go be a boyfriend if you can't pick up the girl and take her on a date and pay for it. So don't even go there. At least you ain't going to do that with my daughters. I'm telling you that now. Neither one of them. They'll beat you up. I'll make sure of it. Anyway, being able to be in a relationship as a middle schooler was a huge thing. But the moment conflict happened, the moment he said, she said, relationships started to break up. I ain't with him no more. Why not? Because he didn't like the color jacket that I wore. I ain't with her no more. Why? Because she didn't do what I wanted her to do. All these reasons. I don't remember what we did in middle school and high school. But it goes on even to high school. And we try and figure out, why are we breaking up all the time? Because there is no conflict resolution. There is no conflict resolution. And so divorce continues to happen as you grow older. See, the reason why I'm talking about these ACEs is not just because of the trauma situation that happened. But as again, you know, I see many couples that bring in this trauma. And I ask them on the questionnaire, have you been through, what was your parents' marriage like? For many of you guys that may be in the psychology field, you know about the genogram. And you just look at how many times aunts and uncles and your parents and grandparents may have been divorced. Or you experience that even within yourself. Because if you see it as a child, you don't want to go through it yourself when you get married, the divorce part. But it's the behaviors that we exhibit on a regular basis that show us what our life has been like. And so we got to remember, when it comes to getting married and staying married, there's a curse that has to be broken. And that curse is divorce. And see, it's very, so divorce is not necessarily sneaky when it happens. In fact, it can be very much in front of you. When you stop and look at, oh, my grandmother got divorced. Her mother was divorced. These people never even married in my family. They just lived together. And right when it's premarital counseling time, that's when, oh, we begin to realize what we're really up against. Because everyone wants a family that is stable. Family stability refers to the characteristics that contribute to healthy child development, which is seen through consistency in routines and activities. If you want a reliable and stable home, you're going to have to make sure that the child is developing correctly, and the factors that are doing that are there. So if you did not have a stable family, you have to work twice as hard to make sure that your current family is. And that curse of divorce has to be broken off of you and your spouse. Now, I didn't even bring in the other spouse going through the divorce as well. Now, you magnify what it looks like to go through a marriage with both parties having to fight separation and divorce already in the family history, yet alone being divorced already themselves and trying to remarry, going into their second or third marriage. Yes, the rates of your marriage going longer is less than 10% of success, because that's a curse that has not been broken. Well, what do we do? How can we find out about making our lives better, even though we went through this as a childhood experience? Well, there's two words: reconciliation and forgiveness. if needed be, forgiveness is needed. And necessary in order for you as an individual to move forward in life, period. Yet alone your spouse. See, many times people move forward without addressing what happened in the past. Well, I don't want to remember my past. My past is over. Yes, that may be true. But if you still have unforgiveness in your past, if you have not forgiven someone from your past, I'm sorry to tell you, baby, that is still connected to you now. Luke 11:4 says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another. Kind to one another. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you're not being kind, the Spirit is not operating through you. You're operating in flesh, and you can be mean and rude. Yeah, I said it. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As God forgave you. How did God forgive you? When you confessed your sin, He forgave you. He died so that you can have forgiveness and let that debt be paid. He forgives when you forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. It's a back and forth. We want to be forgiven, but we don't forgive. You can't have life like that. So if you're going through or have went through a divorce, you've seen it as a child. You've lost a parent through divorce, through death or some adverse experience. But we're focusing right here on the divorce part. If you've lost a parent like that, you've seen that, then we have to pray for your eyes to be cleansed, for your heart to be transitioned, for your soul to be revenged, for reconciliation to happen. Even if you witnessed it, but you feel as if your parents wronged you and you never forgave them for getting divorced. I know that may sound silly and stupid, but I'm talking to you. You carry the weight of your parents' divorce. And it's not yours to carry. For we are to cast off every sin and weight that so easily besets you. Daughter. Son, talking to your gender. Get rid of that weight. Everybody is moving on. Everyone is trying to advance in their life, have new experiences, but you. You are letting fear and lies keep you from getting married. Let it go. Let it go. fear, intimidation, fear of the unknown. We bind you and cast you back into hell from whence you came. Son, I'm speaking to the position you have in Christ. Man or woman here on earth, but you are a believer. You are a son of the Most High. Take your authority and get order in your home so that you don't have a divorce. Get counseling before it's too late. It's too late if you're allowing, it's only too late to get counseling for yourselves if you're not breathing. It's never too late. Well, he's already made up his mind. She's already made up her mind. I work with y'all all the time. And this hope will not disappoint. Romans 5:5. Well, let's say we've lost a parent through death. I am so grateful God has graced me to still have my parents alive at 73 and 71 years old. But to have lost your parent at that young of an age, that is, from my experience with working with youth, it is one of the hardest things to talk someone through. At that moment. And so you have to be able to go forth talking to someone when that has happened as a youth and be vulnerable and realize no one has any expectations on you but to grieve. The other part of it is to also recognize, yes, that was you as a youth, but now you're an adult and you're still dealing with the loss of your parent or guardian. And sometimes I just wanted to focus on not the obvious. And what I mean by that is when you are going through life and you realize that, oh, I am not even aware that the decisions that I'm making and the choices that I'm making for me as an individual are based upon the reason why I lost my parent. Now, I'm not talking about if this is just, oh, my parent was obese. So they ate all the time, so I'm making sure I don't do that. Now, obviously, that's a healthy way, and we don't want to disrupt that. I mean, when your parent they made foolish choices, or it was a complete accident, but you're overcompensating. You have a compulsive desire or compulsive behaviors that no one understands. And maybe through talking with your spouse or someone else, you come to realize that, oh, this is something that I need to talk through, because I didn't realize it is affecting the way I parent, the way I work at my job, the way I talk to my spouse, the way I don't do these things, and how I'm not open to this thing. All these different ways can be a part of who you are and not even know. So what do we do? Like we said, we talk to someone. We be open. Openness, the Bible says there is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Or one translation, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. When you are free, there's no expression, nothing that can compare to complete freedom. You don't care who's looking. You don't care how loud you are. You do what you want to do. Shoot, with nobody home, I'm real free. I do what I want to do. Eat what I want to do. Dress or not dress how I want to dress. All of the above, all that stuff. We do what we want to do when we are free. It's just part of who we are. And if you haven't experienced that freedom, then you need to get to that point of knowing what freedom is, to where you are able to just be you. And the weary part in that is that you have to have an awakening. Because some people who think they're free are just used to their norm. And it's not really freedom. It's really bondage and not even knowing. So as we wrap up today, I just wanted us to remember, let's examine our lives today. Let's examine our marriages. Let's examine our individual life. Let's look back and see, where am I? Why am I like this? Do I need to talk to someone today about something that happened in the past? Do I need to forgive someone today? It may be you. I don't know. But God, today we pray for those individuals that are going through life unknowing of the things that are going through their lives. I pray for everyone that has witnessed and experienced the death of a parent at a young age, for you to reconcile, for you to put back together their heart, for you to allow your power to permeate through them, for you to wipe away tears where there are some sad memories. I pray today that those that are listening, that you see the power of yourself wanting to be free. I pray that that marriage that may be suffering through right now, that that man or that woman talks to their spouse and they don't want to have a divorce, but they realize that the odds are not in their favor, and let them fight like heaven to make sure that they're living and doing the best that they can. And God, we break off every generational curse of divorce, of separation, of infidelity, of lies and betrayal and revenge. Let that be broken off. And I say no more, None in our marriages, none in my marriage, none in my home, none in my daughters will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They will see what it's like to have a marriage that the mother loves the father loves the mother. They are self-sacrificing. It's unconditional love. And the warfare that goes with it, we understand. But God, I pray that we will walk as the victorious warriors that we are. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for listening today. I pray that you have a great rest of the day as well. And we'll see you next week.